it's a sign that God is really blessing you and that Jesus is active. Wonderful music that we just heard. So it's a great pleasure to be here. It's a blessing. So I want to talk about blessings today. I want to start by talking a little bit about who we are. My wife Philomena is here. This is the point where she has to wave and stand up. She hates that part, but we have to do it. So you can recognize her in the lobby. And we are the second generation of missionaries of the South India Church of Christ Mission. My parents, Arthur and Ruth Morris, some of you may remember them well, started the mission in 1950. So we're coming up on our 70th year. Next year, 2020, we're going to celebrate the 70th year of the South India Church of Christ Mission. And we're also going to celebrate the launching of the third generation of leadership in that time. The International Conference on Missions this next year, in 2020, is in Indianapolis. So one of the things we're going to do, we're going to be celebrating there, we're also going to offer, we hope, Indian tea. It's called chai. And so you can come by and get a cup of tea and say hello, and let's catch up when you come. Beautiful day, beautiful town. You guys are doing well. Blessings. We've all got our health or good enough to be here today. A great blessing, health. Family, wonderful blessing, family. Just amazing that God has given us the strength of families and the joy that we have in our families and the parents and the grandparents and the children, the new generation coming up. 2 weeks from now, Philomena and I are going back to India. So this is one of our last visits. So we will carry the memory of this service with us when we go because it's going to be so clear in our minds. Now, I want to talk to you today about blessings. And I also want to talk to you about the intensification of persecution in India. So let me explain just a little bit about the persecution. I talked about it in the Sunday school hour. The bottom line is that the current rulers of India, who were re-elected in May 23rd, want to create a new country in what used to be called India. They wanted to get rid of the old constitution, get rid of the old name. There'll be a new constitution for a country called Hindustan. And you might ask, why Hindustan? Well, that's going to become Hindustan, which in Hindi means land. That is, it's going to be the land of the Hindus, the South Asian subcontinent. Brand new nation. To be Indian is to be Hindu. To be Hindu is to be Indian. And where does that leave us Christians? Well, under the Constitution of India, we're given freedom of religion. We're allowed to have the freedom to worship as we please. In Hindustan, we are criminals. Now, why are we criminals? Not only because we worship Jesus personally, they might be able to live with that, but because we believe that a Christian should bring other people to Jesus. And that's our duty that's given to us by Jesus, that we bring other people to the knowledge of Jesus, to accept him as the Lord and Savior, to be water baptized for the remission of sins, to have weekly communion, just like we just had, just like you do here, we do there. And that's going to become criminal. Criminal means 7 years in jail. Or, just to save the court procedures, lynching, or your house burned down, or the children can't go to school, and so you finally leave, or you become a Hindu, because it's Hindustan. You want to be a citizen, you've got to be a Hindu. And what's Hinduism? It's idol worship. I went into some more detail in the Sunday school, but basically, if you want to know what is Hinduism, just look at anything in the Old Testament that involved idol worship or Baal worship. Do you guys remember Baal worship with the two A's? That's Hinduism today. It's just the same. And the way God feels about it is just the same as he felt about it in the Old Testament, or that he felt about it in the New Testament, or to the point where he sent his son Jesus to earth to save us from the evil one and from the dark forces. The forces that want to build Hindustan are in a hurry. Now, for 5 years, we had increasing persecution, and it got a little worse and a little worse and a little worse. Since the re-election, it's got worse fast. The rule of law has collapsed. So when you don't have rule of law, you have a parliament that meets, and there's no opposition. So bills get passed in one day. They get proposed in the morning, and they're passed at night. Why? There's no opposition. That's what the collapse of the rule of law is. And I'm hoping, been talking about persecution also to alert all Christians and even Christians in America to the dangers of paganism in America. Paganism is another word for idol worship, for paganism becoming a force that becomes so strong that they want to abolish your church, want to abolish Rockville Christian Church, that it becomes criminal for you to come here to worship in Rockville Christian Church. You don't think it can happen? It happened in Nazi Germany. You want to know what we're going through right now? You look in the history books between 1928 and 1933, the part where the Nazi Party actually came to power. We did a study on this in Southern Asia Christian College, which is the college that my parents started and that we now help run. We did a study on that time on the history books. You start replacing people. You start exiling people. You start imprisoning people, putting your own people in each slot. And that's what we're seeing going on right now. So they're following a playbook that's a known. We don't have to read their minds. You just read a good history of what was going on in Germany between 1928 and 1933, and then what happened afterward, and you pretty much know the text. There's no secret. So you might find it a little surprising that what this sermon is about is the blessings of persecution. The blessings of persecution. I want to talk about the blessings of being persecuted. Now, we know what blessings are, right? I just talked about some of the blessings. Good health, family doing well, job doing well, getting along, you know, you get up in the morning, you say, oh, God is good. How many blessings? And we've been blessed. As a family, we've been blessed as an organization, South India Church of Christ Mission, in the 69 years to date, has planted over 1,115 churches. By the time we celebrate the 70th, we expect that we will be somewhere around 120 to 125. Prayer groups are flourishing. All blessings, but I want to talk about the blessing of persecution. Let me give you the text that helps focus this out of the New Testament. Matthew 5, 10 to 16. Matthew 5, 10 to 16. How can we say that persecution is a blessing? Well, Jesus told us persecution is a blessing. Now, one of the things that we know, if it's Matthew chapter 5, it was pretty early in Jesus' ministry. He was just getting going. And yet, persecution and the growth that comes from persecution was very much in his mind. Because Jesus knew, God knows, Christ's church grows in the time of persecution. I want to repeat that. Christ's church grows in the time of persecution, and we're seeing that. So Matthew 5, 10 to 16. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You see how that works with persecution? Your witness is amplified. It's magnified because your witness is set on the hill. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it glows light to all who are in the house. And Jesus closes this particular thought in verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And what better time to do that than in a time of persecution, in the time when they come and say, are you a Christian? And you know, that's a question that only has, you can only say yes or no. You can't say maybe. The mob comes. The police come. Are you a Christian? Yes or no? You see how witness gets amplified? Now, this may come to pass in America. The time may come. I don't know. But I can tell you we're experiencing this right now in India before it becomes Hindustan. Now, the blessing of persecution, I talk about it as a persecution is something you want to welcome. Well, hey, the blessing of persecution is not easy. It means pain. It means suffering. It means loss. It may mean the loss of a job or work or children being sent out of schools, not allowed to go to schools, being targeted, getting beat up, being shamed, being lynched. Your house is burnt down. We've seen all this, and we think we're only at the beginning of it. But through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have instructions given by God, written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We have instructions how to survive and witness in the time of persecution. So you want the instructions of how to do it during the time of persecution? Let me give you Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And when everything is done, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of God, the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord's people. Persecution is not a matter of passive suffering. It's God's call for active witnessing. We do not see ourselves as victims, even if we become martyrs. We have been called to be victors in Jesus. One way that we're going to make our witness public is a ministry that we've had for many years, and this year we're going to try to make it larger and more visible and more loud than ever before, and that's our Christmas program. And what we do these days, to the extent that we have support, we hire loudspeakers and amps just like you guys have here. These days we actually have more guitars, so we also try to, you know, make sure that we can have that for singing. We have light. We hire lights. And we hire a platform so that the young people of the church can put on the Christmas drama. And we start all the way in the Old Testament, all the way from the very beginning, all the way through all the prophecies of all the signs of the Messiah coming until Jesus is born. 10 days, more or less. That's our average. Costumes are done by the local church. The script is done by the local church, and it's in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. Because we need to show that we are the hill on the city. We are the lamp. Jesus is the light.